Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ask Catherine and the Soleri team. This is Carolyn Betts and myself, Catherine Austin Fitz. We're recording on Thursday, October 5th. A lot of times, Carolyn, we like to record on Wednesday, but you and I were flying back from Norway, so we're doing it Thursday, and God bless the Soleri team for getting this out by Friday. This will be published on Friday, October 6th. We didn't have Ask Catherine. We had Tech Corner last week. God bless you for doing that in the middle of many busy things going on in Stockholm, where you and I were gathered for a wonderful conference on guarding mankind's liberty. And what a group. We talked about it on Financial Rebellion this week. So we got lots of questions in Stockholm, lots of questions in Oslo, lots of questions in Stavanger, but we got a lot more questions tonight. So let's just dive in. Cash and precious metals. The first one is yours, Carolyn.
Okay, this subscriber says, "Dear Catherine, Carolyn, and the team, how does one invest in BRICS gold tokens? Can interactive brokers be used to invest in BRICS gold tokens? Can this be done through any American broker?" I confirmed that this does exist, BRICS gold tokens, and I'm not going to address where you can get it because I think that it is just another thing that you slap the word gold on it and people think it's somehow secure. The BRICS are not particularly against the centralization of the world. They just want their piece of it, I think we've found. But
Well, but
Catherine,
Carolyn,
what do you think?
let me just ask you, are these really issued by the BRICS?
I don't think so.
No.
The
Take
person
time.
who's promoting it is someone who's promoted other things that I don't particularly think are a good idea. I mean, they've got pictures of them.
Well, but who issues them? Is this a private dealer?
Zero Hedge apparently covered it. Of course, they're playing on the BRICS meetings.
Well, but the BRICS have talked about doing various things with gold, but I know of no token issued, and I don't know of a legal entity authorized by the BRICS to issue it.
I mean, the promotion mostly talks about the BRICS, which is not a currency. The BRICS isn't a not even legal organization, but an agreement to organize among certain states,
Well, but
and
I
they're
don't think
now
there is such a
11.
thing. BRICS gold-backed current, they're called BRICS gold-backed tokens.
Zero Hedge has an article, Rickards, BRICS gold-linked currency previewed October 22nd, implemented in stages.
Okay,
BRICS, it says the BRICS are launching a gold-backed alternative to the US dollar.
no, I do
Well,
believe that BRICS will issue a common settlement currency. That's a wholesale thing to settle accounts between nations. And that's what they've talked about.
what Zero Hedge says is that there are two diametrically opposed opinions coming out of this, that they are launching a gold-backed alternative to US dollars, and the diametrically opposed one is the BRICS have no immediate plans to launch a gold-backed alternative to the dollar.
What legal entity? The BRICS is an association of different countries. There is no BRICS entity that I know of.
There isn't an entity. It's a loose collaboration of countries.
Right. Now, they are making payment and other settlement systems between themselves and trying to integrate payment systems in various ways. But I know of absolutely no plan to create a common currency, let alone one that could be used retail, let alone that would be available for retail purchase globally. Let me go to James Rickards, if there's any private thing he's promoting.
Yeah, he says it will be previewed August 22nd.
Right. So that's exactly what I was saying coming into the August 22nd meeting, that there would be no such thing. And it was a ruse, mostly used to sell precious metals IRAs and precious metals. Nothing was announced, and they're not going to. And in fact, what was announced at the G20 meeting after the BRICS summit was that Russia, China, and India were full on board for the BIS and the CBDC global system.
Which is why I said I wouldn't recommend it even if it existed.
Right. So if anybody has any evidence to suggest that such a thing exists, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if a private dealer had issued something called a Brix Gold, token just to, to help them with marketing. But as far as I know, this doesn't exist. And if it did exist, I'd tell you not to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want to buy gold, just go buy gold as low a premium to melt value as possible. Don't buy some and buy one that's liquid. Buy a sovereign gold coin that's liquid. And the last thing you want to do is buy something that's new, that's illiquid and
And not
untested.
gold. I mean, most of these things that are supposedly gold backed are not 100% backed by gold. So how are they priced? I mean,
If you look at the extraordinary food fight we had coming into the BRICS summit about, all this stuff about what the BRICS are doing is just a completely, it's the opposite of what's going on here, including that the dollar was in a trend upward and was going to get stronger, which of course is exactly what happened.
right.
So, I'm not sure this is the right energy to start out as Catherine, but for 30 years or 20 years, Solari's been a broker record. No, the dollar's not going to collapse. No, the dollar's not going to collapse. And there is a great evidence to suggest that there is a campaign to make sure people who want freedom lose their money by persuading them that the dollar's going to collapse and therefore you should do A, B, C, D, E, most of which is not, are not sensible things to do. I will say this, it's I hate to see your time wasted with this kind of stuff. I just hate to see that. So just remember, just because somebody says that they're against the establishment and for freedom, doesn't mean number one that they are, but number two doesn't mean that they know from a financial standpoint what the next action is. So please be careful out there. Okay. And on that note, let's go to question number two. Hi, awesome team, Solari, Catherine, Carolyn, et al. I'm a fellow Tennessean. Yes, even West Tennessee, love Hickory Valley and Bolivar. I'm a fellow Christ lover, community, currently live near Nashville and have loved Shelbyville since childhood. Recently found Alan Jackson and Murfreesboro. From these connections in your past and securities investments, I feel like you and your team are old friend. Poor me. My huge regret is that I'm unaware of you 20 years ago. Thought I was drinking Kool-Aid and dumb and happy, so tragic. For good and bad, I opened a metal IRA with metal stored segregated in Texas at IDS, though I know you do not name company names. Although Texas Governor Abbott has taken highly alarming actions and a shocking number of inactions, I was more fearful than the Delaware depository in a blue state, especially that particular state was a worse risk to move metals to Texas. So here's the thing, every custodian has pros and cons and risks associated with those jurisdictions. And I wouldn't assume that Texas was riskier than Delaware. There's some scenarios where one is better than the other. And it's, you can, if you have an IRA with precious metals in it, you can split it apart and do it in two places. You just want to check the fees and make sure you're not going to be worse off. Okay, so you said, would I be wiser to pay fees, taxes now on all my balance or a large portion each year and start to take home delivery on some of my IRA metals each year more than the mandatory annual 5% distribution versus risk leaving them at a depository and having them confiscated by an increasingly lawless government? So there are risks to leaving them in, there are risks to taking them out. And I argue all things balance. I would always want a core position in my core percentage of or a core position in precious metals, always under my physical possession. But that doesn't mean I'd leave everything under my physical possession, because the most precious metals I've seen lost by people are lost when they keep it at home, and they forget where they put it, or they have somebody come in, the plumber comes in, and the next thing you know, $65,000 of silver coins have disappeared from the basement. There are risks to holding it yourself, and there are risks to holding it in a depository. It is true when gold was seized by Roosevelt, the only people who lost their gold were the people who had it at the bank or who voluntarily turned it in, but nobody was enforced. One person was enforced against, and everybody who kept it at home and refused to turn it in kept their gold. So now remember, gold was a big portion of family wealth then. Now a big portion is IRAs and 401ks. So, I would not be more worried about Texas than I would be in Delaware. But if there's a benefit to diversifying it and having both places if you don't get killed on the fee. I would definitely have some at home. But what you want to be able to do in terms of pulling it out of an IRA is if you're going to pay a lot of fees and taxes to take it out now, if I were you, I'd prefer to save outside the IRA starting now rather than pull things out and pay all those fees. But again, all things balance. If you want some at home and the best way to do it is to pull some out, then, do a little bit. And if you read the article we wrote called What Percentage of My Assets Should I Hold in Precious Metals? That'll help you think through what you want to have as a core position, including a core position that you hold at home. If you do hold it at home, I would recommend our audio seminar with Franklin Sanders, How to Invest in Silver and Gold Coins. And I would also recommend our interview with the president of Dan Perkins, president of Hidden Safes in Memphis, and it's on how to buy and install a safe. Given what we've seen in the these sort of high-tech fires, maybe 40 or 50 in the last couple of years, if you keep it at home, you need to think about how to protect it from a high-tech fire. You may be thinking of looking for a floor safe that can protect against 2,000 degrees. The problem is if you're in a place like Lahaina and they do that, they seem to be pretty good at keeping everybody out for weeks, and then you have to assume they're going to physically confiscate it. If you lived in Lahaina, you'd be very, very happy that you were in the Delaware Depository or in Texas. One of the ones that Franklin Sanders uses, CT, is up in Connecticut. I wouldn't, it's Connecticut or Massachusetts. I would not want to be in those jurisdictions. So, but there are other good depositories around. Okay, so any comments on that, Carolyn?
I don't disagree.
Okay, so where to stash your cash and coin? No questions. Geopolitics and financial markets. Can you comment on the attached article regarding the recent BRICS meeting? It seems that this was just another deception controlled by the BIS. The 8 points that summarize the BRICS declaration found at the end of this article are stunning. Let me just see. This is from Global Research. And is he talking about the G20 declaration or the BRICS declaration? Wait a minute, let me check. Okay, the original five BRICS all commit themselves to UN's highly deceptive sustainable development goals. They promised the BRICS would pursue the sustainable development goals. They urgently stressed the need to address climate change. They reemphasized the importance of the UN's Framework Convention. They reaffirmed the vital importance of the World Trade Organization. They emphasized the vital importance of the World Health Organization. They remain committed to strengthening vital importance of pandemic preparedness. They stress the vital importance of digital transformation. They emphasize the vital importance of carbon credits in the green economy. So what is there to be expected from the original BRICS, from the new BRICS plus 11?
Right, that's what the point of the
Yeah.
article is.
Yeah. So great piece by Peter Koenig. And, you really saw this coming out and just a little bit later after the BRICS summit, because the G20 meets with Russia, China, and India, and totally embraces the whole BIS, FSB, CBDC framework. And you just have to laugh, because if you look at all the incredible promotion of this notion that they're splitting away and they're providing an alternative, and the whole Western system is going to collapse as a, I mean, it's just completely the opposite of what's true. I thank you for that link, because I couldn't agree more. Any other comments, Carolyn?
No, I mean it's clear to me that I mean it sounds like the person who wrote in the last question about the BRICS gold backed currency is thinking in those terms and
Well, we saw that sort of concept of, the BRICS are going to do this and split away, and the dollar is going to fall. I mean, it's the same dollar collapse, dollar collapse. There's always a new fantasy on the dollar collapse. And they're used, a lot of them were used, we saw in this last round, to promote these sort of scam Or so I would say, because of the price, fraudulent IRA gold schemes. So, okay. So the next Ask Catherine is in October, so I thought I would answer this directly. So this is my answer about the BRICS embracing the BIS framework. So that you put that in the script, and I appreciate that. Then, what are your thoughts on Old Glory Bank? Old Glory Bank is a bank that's been put together with some of my understanding, a variety of people who were connected to the Trump administration. And it's a, I think that it's a new bank that they created by acquiring an existing operating bank and license. And I would, they don't have a much of a track record. And there's not much disclosure on them, so I can't tell anything about them. I just don't have enough. I would, if you're interested, I would ask them for their financial statements and make sure you had gone through it and with a fine-tooth comb. If you have a good CPA, I would have them look at it. But I know nothing about it, and I haven't. I've been skeptical, not because I of the people who started it, because if you don't provide plenty of financial disclosure, then financial professionals can't make an intelligent assessment. And anybody knows if you're going to do something like this, you have to provide that if you want serious financial people to consider you. Anyway, okay,
Can
that was.
I just comment that beware of putting your money in a place or supporting in voting with your money for things that you in that are founded by people you politically agree with, and only for that reason. If you do your due diligence and it's good, then fine, go ahead. But the idea, there are a lot of people who are on the political side that you might find attractive, and some of them, post things on YouTube, and then YouTube's AI thinks that you're interested. People who would listen to that would be interested in, for example, gold IRAs, and people invest because they agree with the entity or the person who's posting something else rather than because they've looked into the product itself. So just be careful.
Right. Now they have some pretty talented people on the board.
Yeah, I mean it may be
Yeah.
fun.
So they have some pretty talented people on the board. And I'm just looking at their management. And they provide disclosure on who their board is and who their management is. There's more description of management. When I was there, I didn't see anything this deep about their management. But the problem is, so it's good. The number one thing I look at is the board of directors and the managers. So that's the first kind of disclosure you want. And they've got that. But then the question is, what are their, who owns them and how does their money work? What are their financials? And I don't see anything there.
The
So
other thing
there's.
is that generally speaking, new entities carry more risk than stable, conservatively managed entities with a track record. I mean, that's
Right.
just true of all businesses. A new business is much more likely to go down than one that's been around and has a track record.
Right. Okay, that was banking. Moving on to other investments in retirement, the first question is yours.
Right. This says, my wife and I are concerned about her parents getting sucked into a recruitment style scheme to build and develop a utopian internet that also has its own digital verified sovereign currency. Gee, with the words verified and sovereign in it, it must be must be something questionable. The red flags include having to have 200 to 400 points of government ID, $5,000 to $20,000 US dollars of funds, and from what I've seen, limited credibility of the man running it. He lives in Thailand, and the money involved is held in an Australian bank account, supposedly. In the 2-hour webinars, fear is used to engage with people. The host really knows his stuff about financial history fraud and how the banking system really works. The platform is supposed to be the opposite of the dark web, with the solution being When the financial collapse or government overreach occurs, this closed community can still trade and build digital wealth. It's really just a comment from the and there's a link or and a an image showing what they're promoting. This was something that occurred on September 6th, the particular webinar. But this person says, however, is there anything I can do to help warn people getting involved who are emotionally hooked? It's the same with any kind of scheme. I don't know what you do other than to walk a loved one, if it's someone close to you, through the materials that are provided, and ask questions and see what is not there and what is a likely puffery type statement. What this person has said so far would put off alarm bells in 90% of the population, if not more, but that other 10% will fall for anything. So, Catherine, do you have any ideas
Yeah, I
on
would
that?
strongly recommend that they go to put in mind control on the search engine and pull up our best links in the mind control collection. But you want to read my interview, I think it was in 2010 with Adam Trombley, on the use of entrainment for financial fraud. And my one concern is these guys, if they're using fear, are using entrainment or sort of professional propaganda tactics.
I mean, they're tried and true lines.
Right.
It's a
Now,
template.
is it possible that an expat living in Thailand who's got a bank account in Australia could be trying to put together a transaction network and it could be legitimate? Yes, in theory. But the red flag for me is they're using fraud. I mean, they're using fear. Well,
Yeah.
any financial person who uses fear to talk you into anything, I just delete them.
Right.
You talk fear to me, you're out.
Right.
Like what I like is I like logic, I like rational thinking, and I like mathematics and verifiable facts and verifiable recommendations as to the integrity of the people involved. And I would never. I mean, if I wanted to consider something like this, I'd fly to Thailand and meet the people in person. But
Right.
I would never put a dime in something like this unless I had done, in-person due diligence, or I had somebody I completely trusted who'd done in-person due diligence.
Yes, and there are certainly people who try to get close to something like this and get perfect, like ask for references or ask for a meeting with the person who's the main guy. Often they'll find that they're cut off if they ask too many
Right.
questions.
It's,
So.
I had one person whose opinion I really value came and tried to persuade me in the quantum financial system. If you look at the BS that was being slung, it was just unbelievable. I mean, I couldn't believe he was promoting this to me. And I said, okay, well, here's a list of the typical documents that I would want to see on any due diligence of any company or any organization. I want to know who your bylaws are. I want to know what your ownership structure is, who owns you, on and on and on. And they came back and said, well, none of that is available.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's like, what's the difference between you and a fairy tale? It baffles my mind that these things keep, the more hubris that's involved, the better these things do. And you just can't believe it. Okay, next one is yours, Carolyn.
Yes, my husband and I live in Orange County, California. We're considering selling our home and leaving the state, but the $64,000 question is, where do we move? Do you rent short term and buy later? As a side note, we are wide awake, believe in, and support the Constitution. Can you point us in the right direction? This is a very individualized thing, and part of the consideration is, where are the people that you love, and I wouldn't recommend moving to Alaska to somebody whose close relatives all live in Florida. But that aside, a lot of a number of people are moving into and liking South Dakota. Catherine is a real supporter of Tennessee, but looking into the politics of the state and even local jurisdictions, it's really important to know what the risks are if you're going to buy. Now, if you're going to renting short term, sometimes renting is so much more expensive than buying. You wonder about whether it makes sense, but certainly renting short term generally is a less risky proposition. And if you can rent short term somewhere you think that you'd like to move, you can learn more about the particular place and find which suburb or which place within a certain distance is the type of neighborhood you want to buy into, or you might find out this isn't what I like at all. So, Catherine, what do you think?
So if I was going to decide I was going to look for a new place, I would do due diligence. And so if I was looking in the United States, I would do due diligence on both the state and the specific jurisdiction, because you're not just looking in Tennessee, for example. You want to know you're in a good county and you want to know you got a good sheriff. But here's where I'd look. The states that I would revisit again are South Dakota, Iowa, Oklahoma, North Dakota, Idaho, Utah, Tennessee, New Hampshire, and Texas. I would probably not choose Texas just because what's happening in the border. And but those are the ones I'd look at. And again, you're looking for the excellent county in those jurisdictions. The one of the big considerations is where do you have cluster of people you already know who can give you the kind of intel you need to make sure you have the right introduction into the community. You want to make sure you have the right plumber, not the wrong one, the right electrician, not the wrong one. Goes on and on. But what's going to help us all is we have community. So where there are clustered people who you either know and trust, or a cluster of people that you would like to get to know and trust, and you're prepared to be trustworthy of them. And
Yes, and there's always the possibility of joining something like Weston Price Foundation, for example, that has a local community, local groups, and connecting up with those people and asking them about whether they like where they live, what's a better place, whatever.
Weston, the Weston Price food groups can always nag you, because one of the most important questions is how are you going to build a local source of fresh food? And that's one of the reasons if I was considering moving to any of these places and they had an Edible Communities magazine, I'd look at the Edible Communities magazine on what their food infrastructure was. Anyway, so those are the states that I would look at, but you've got to find your cluster of people. The other thing is you need to make sure you understand that there is no way. We're not going to be able to move to a jurisdiction and get away from Mr. Global. Mr. Global is everywhere. And it's much more about where's the jurisdiction, people you're willing to go through. We're going to have to we're walking through a fire, and or walking through a war. Who are the people you want to be paddling down the river? Who do you want in your boat? And so you're more than anything, you're in addition to looking at the sort of the quality of the jurisdiction, you're looking at the quality of the people you're going to plop yourself down with, because your life may depend on them. Okay. Yeah.
The
Next one's
next one
yours.
is, do you think it's worthwhile to purchase a service that monitors your credit for fraud? Most of the ones that I've heard of have some sort of guarantee attached. They're going to make sure if they're wrong, they're going to reimburse the money of your loss or something like that. In that case, I would always say you got to look at the underlying credit of the guarantor and their history, and obviously due diligence. I personally wouldn't recommend buying. Usually this type of thing is way overpriced for what you get. I know that I have a Discover card, and they on my monthly statement, it shows what my credit score is. So I would notice if there were some sort of change. It is a good idea on a regular basis to check your credit. that doesn't mean that that is going to happen right away, that you're going to see the effects of a fraud in your credit score. You're more likely to see it in your bank statement or your credit card statement. But
Right. Right. I think you're most likely to see it in your credit card statement. I would never pay for a service like this. Part of it is because if you look at some of these services, who they sign you up and give your data to is frightening.
well, that's another
Right. It's
consideration.
like, really? Do you, I'm gonna give data to criminals to protect me from criminals? You know that. So we did a wonderful Solaria report on identity theft. It's in the library. And we did it with Bob Sullivan. His website is Red Pill. And he's really good on this topic. And he just said, look, there's only one way to do this. He said, you got to scan and check your accounts regularly. He said, you nip it in the bud, you got to catch it right away. And he said, you can't, his opinion was you couldn't outsource that. You had to do it yourself. I think if you have a great bookkeeper, or somebody doing, helping you, they can, you can delegate some of it to them, but you got to be on top of everything.
But in addition, we covered this in Tech Corner, I think. You need to not be doing banking or anything using your credit card on your cell phone.
Right.
That's the situation in which a good portion of the frauds happen.
Right.
Be careful of your personal data and, familiarize yourself with who's trustworthy and who's not. Facebook is not trustworthy with your data. You
Well,
know, and
one of the reasons I love my bank is, we have debit cards, and as soon as something fraudulent happens on the debit card, a lot of times they catch it faster than I do, and they check with me. So it's a great thing. Okay, good day, Catherine and the Solaria team. Thank you for your continued diligence to help guide us through the challenges. As pre-less money markets, you mentioned about shadow equity work, and I feel this applies with shadow work and equity wipes. It was by the grace of God my home was not destroyed last one month in one of the intense wildfires in the province I live in. I'm located in Canada. My home has been up for sale for 3 months to move into another province. The real estate market has softened both volume and price, but the fires have made it worse. My home is paid for due to your advice, and my plan was to take the equity to buy another house in the other province. Would you suggest I wait until spring until the market usually goes up, both volume and price to sell? I would just note, given what's going on in the economy, it could go either way. I mean, it should improve in the spring, and if you've been hurt by the fires, putting time between you and the fires will help. At the same time, if you look at, the central bankers playing hardball, you could get squeezed and it could drop even a lot. Or should I take the hit, which could be substantially larger to get out now? I'm concerned about the potential increase in the interest rates to wait until the spring, and I don't know what effect these type of disasters have on real estate values. Currently, we have a high volume of immigration in Canada, which is stabilizing the market. One other option I have is to make a rental business. We have a very strong rental market, as it's challenging to purchase a home and it's a tourist destination. I would have the option of doing short-term rentals, weekly to monthly, or long-term. I'm leery of the long-term rental option because the laws are designed to protect the tenants, not the landlord. I would be able to put the property into my corporation, borrow money to enable me to buy another home. I'm not sure if this would offer any type of protection for the capital. It's a higher tax rate, but it might be worth it if the equity is protected. But that option would have me borrowing money in the corporation. You have two options. You can put the property in the corporation, rent it on the short-term rentals that keep you out of the long-term regulations, and then, do a debt deal. Now, if the debt deal gave me enough money to buy my home outright, and I would want one of those places to not be in debt. If you end up with two places and you got debt on both, you could lose both. So what you want is a home you own and control. And so if you can pull enough money out to buy a house without debt, then you've got one place without debt and you're protected. So that could be a very attractive scenario if you're willing to take the risk, but I would only do it if you've got enough to buy yourself a house that is comfortable, and you're willing to downsize, but not downsize beyond comfortable. So one option is to play the rental game that way, and the other is to just cut and run. And I don't know which the best one is. both have risks, both have advantages, and both have risks. So you have to decide which risks you're willing to live with and which you're not, which is more preferable to you. But to me, I wouldn't say no to either option. Both are a way of doing it. Now, we're in an environment where it takes more work to take care of something. You know, it's harder to depend on people for things like taking care of a property. So you need to make sure you don't envision doing this unless you've got somebody who can watch over that property for you and help you out with fixes and other things so that it doesn't become a nightmare for you. So I would want to make sure I had property managers I could really trust, or it was relatively easy for me to get back to the place where that property is. So there's a couple of caveats on playing the rental game. My guess is, I know it's hard because I think real estate could really take it on the chin, depending on what the central bankers do. So I'm a great believer. I like to go where I want to go, and get it done. So it would probably be my inclination to sell 100%, get my money, cut and run, and get focused on building the next place without worrying about a rental business. But if you have good property managers and if you can get enough cash out to buy your home outright, the rental could be attractive. You need to make sure you've got enough sort of wherewithal and reserves to live through a down cycle if rentals sort of seize up. Okay, any other thoughts, Carolyn?
Anytime that the economy turns down, depending on rental income, is a riskier bit than when times are wonderful. And I don't think times are wonderful right now. It's not a good time to be debt leveraged. And I can tell you lots of stories about people who rented property. Who did not live where the property was. And so it is risky to own property in a place where you don't live and then be dependent upon the rental income.
Right, unless you have a very good property manager.
Right, and
So,
that costs money.
okay. No questions. Living equity and equity overview. Then we go to feedback. I'm having trouble finding the survey test of school children mentioned early on in your interview with Dr. Bregan. Would you please direct me to it? So I contacted our News Trends and Story editor. He couldn't find the one we have. It's back in News Trends and Story somewhere, but Naomi Wolf has one up on Daily Cloud, so I sent it to someone to put in the show notes, and we'll have it there for you. But I'm sure if you do surveys, if you do searches on the internet, you'll find them. That's how I found the one I posted, News Trends and Stories. It was a Massachusetts one, and the one that Naomi Wolf has up, I believe, is Virginia.
Yeah,
Okay,
I have the Virginia link in the notes already.
good. I called the National Bank of Malvern today, so that's my bank in Pennsylvania, to open an account. I was told because of fraud they would not open an account since I live in Las Vegas. Well, I'm sorry about that. I think things are tightening up. I'm glad I became a subscriber. Thanks for all your hard work. Take care and thanks. So whenever I recommend to somebody who I personally know who lives outside of Pennsylvania, where they're located, the community where they're located, I will make an effort to introduce them personally. And so if there's a personal reference and recommendation, I know someone well, and there's a logic for them getting a bank there, they sometimes will open the account. But they have to be super, all banks have to be super, super careful to know the customer. And they really, if I do that, they'll grill me on how I know the person and how well I know the person and how long I've known the person, et cetera. So they're super, super careful. It's relationship banking anyway, but I'm sorry that didn't work out. Okay, the next one is the category on our favorite fellow, Mr. Global. And the first one is yours, Carolyn.
Yes, this one has to do with Catherine's story about turning the red button green, having to do with big tech. This person is a stay-at-home mom with a young child wanting to have some gig income and would like to have a coaching business and understands that the According to my research, I think she says, the most successful approaches for attractive clients involve using social media. While I want to leverage modern tools to build a business that fits with my current lifestyle constraints, I feel conflicted because I don't want to help build out the control grid by supporting big tech. And so my comment is that there's social media and there's social media. Something like Facebook is not something that I would engage in, because we've just heard so much about how they use your data and how invasive it is and AI. There are local networks that have aspects of social media. Some of them are emails, some of them are probably websites where you might connect with people on a local basis. And I think that that is probably a good way to get clients. So it really depends on the social media. In terms of what we use, Catherine, we use Rumble, correct?
So we use I think it's about, at my recollection, the list is about 15 to 20.
Wow.
We use
okay.
Gab, we use Telegram,
right.
we use Rumble, we use BitChute, we use a wide variety. And we also use the software where you can post, and you know, so when we post an article on the website, we'll post it to the social media sites and it will post to most of them automatically at once. Anyway, so, but there are also groups like the Children's Health Defense and Weston Price, and we have one on Solari Connect where you can get online and have the equivalent of a community forum or something like a social media through a group of people who are more inclined to be like-minded individuals. And, you know, so it's more work to do it that way than maybe Facebook. But what I try and do is stay away from the entities who I believe are really there to censor, enforce, and do surveillance. And yet there are people who tell me they really help build. So when we were working with the team up in Scandinavia for the last 2 days, they said they had good luck, you know, meeting and finding people on Facebook.
Yeah,
So,
I've heard people
right.
have used Facebook too.
Right. So I don't think you're building the beast if you use social media. But I would be very discerning about which social media you use, because one, you want something that can go the distance. You know, you don't want to start someplace and get thrown off and make a mess. So I would be on somebody. So when Rumble was threatened with, you know, they wanted them to demonetize Russell Brand, they refused. They refused to throw Russell Brand off. And so they, you know, the UK guys gave him a hard time. I don't know where it's gone, but, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, if I get on Rumble, they're not going to throw me off at an inconvenient time. So you want to build on solid ground. And your most solid ground is local networking, not online forums. But if you want to do online forums, I would say it's fine if you're willing to do the work. But I would not, I would say this, the way you're going to build a coaching business is by being useful to other people. And you can do that online or you can do that offline. But I would focus not so much on sort of interacting on social media, but on publishing things on social media that are really useful to people.
You don't want to build a platform that's going to throw you off, as Catherine says.
Right, right.
That's just disastrous. This one is of interest to me personally, because I have a close relative in New Orleans, and I was aware of this situation. And actually have corresponded with this subscriber. But I think it's worth reading the question because this subscriber has really looked into it. I currently live in Southeast Louisiana and am in the process of moving my family to Tennessee, where we recently bought a home. Meanwhile, I'm a native of Southeast Louisiana who loves her home and is deeply concerned about what appears to be coming. According to the official narrative, the state of Louisiana is now under a declared state of emergency due to low water in the Mississippi River, attributed to climate change, of course, and a supposed saltwater wedge is traveling up the river in into the municipal water systems, which will conveniently force the municipalities like New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board to shut off the water supply. According to the Army Corps of Engineers website, saltwater intrusion can affect local water supplies because many public drinking water systems in South Louisiana rely on fresh water from the Mississippi River. Plaquemines Parish has been impacted by saltwater intrusion since June of 2023. Additional parishes that may be affected include Orleans, where my relative lives, St. Bernard, and Jefferson. The Louisiana Health Department, along with regional and state and federal partners, is actively monitoring this situation and conducting water quality testing and analysis to provide regular updates to the general public and healthcare providers about impacts to water systems and necessary precautions. The Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness has established the website emergency.la.gov, where accurate information about the saltwater intrusion can be found. Please monitor information provided by local, state, and federal authorities. And so, according to the mayor, in a recent press conference, there are 50,000 lead service lines in the municipal water system, and they will surely corrode if salinated water enters them. So this subscriber says she didn't think that this was getting national press, and I have not. I would have noticed if it had come up in what I've been looking at, although I've been out of the country. But according to my relative, who has a fiance who is in the health department, there is a real crisis. And there, this is Thursday, and this, as Catherine goes up Friday, there will have been a press conference that's a day old tomorrow when this goes public. And we will see what the Army Corps of Engineers and the health department say. But this person lived through Katrina, and that was just a complete disaster and mostly contrived and of suspicious origin. But this is, the person says, if Mr. Global is determined to take Southeast Louisiana, my fervent prayer is that divine intervention creates a massive diversion and thwarts Mr. Global's plan in a supernatural way. Please pray in the name of Christ. I would love to get your thoughts on this. And there are a couple of links to resources.
I don't have enough background in, you know, civil engineering to know what happens when this much salt water hits lead pipes. But having had very extreme lead poisoning, and having been poisoned by lead, I cannot imagine how frightening that sounds. I mean, it just the idea of the water delivering lead poisoning or lead levels that could poison people. I mean, I can't tell you how much damage that could do.
I'm waiting to hear. They are predicting no water mid-month, and it's now, what, the 7th or something. And that's a week away. So,
I'm talking out of both. I mean, I don't have I don't have the engineering skill, but I live in a country right now, I'm in the Netherlands, where the water management is absolutely astonishing and superb. And the ability of a city like New Orleans to do proper water management, knowing that you have periods of both flooding and droughts, and to also be prepared to do desalination if they need water and, you know, they have a drought kind of situation. You know, that technology exists. And it's shocking because today on Financial Rebellion, you and I talked about sovereign wealth funds.
Right.
Look at the money that has been taken out of Louisiana and the Delta and the Mississippi River by private interests and corporations. When there has not that, when a portion of that money, if you look at how Norway's done it, should have gone into a wealth fund and should have gone into having as excellent an infrastructure as exists in the Netherlands. And it's an example of corruption and poor governance. And
Absolutely.
a lot of private interests have made a ton of money, not to mention the games that got played during Katrina. So it's to me, this is infuriating because this is exactly what you get with 30 years of corrupt leadership. You get an insufficient infrastructure that cannot handle these things. And then we're in for a real problem, not to mention, I think the drought that's happening is very much a result of weather warfare. So whether it's corruption and incompetence or weather warfare, intentional, I see this as simply more great poisoning and war by Mr. Global. The whole thing is inexcusable, and it's pretty upsetting, especially when you compare it to how Norway managed, the wealth that came out of the oil that they took out. So that's number one. The number two is this, and this, by the way, is a great report from this subscriber. They mentioned the book, The Great New Orleans Gun Grab. That is a must read if you want to prepare for life in America. In this environment, that is a great book to help you prepare because it talks about what citizens really dealt with in New Orleans during Katrina. And it's a very instructive book. And it's not, when you read it, it's not unlike what's happening in parts of, the Chicago area and San Francisco and Los Angeles. You're seeing a partial or complete implosion of the rule of law. So
Well, and this has happened in Louisiana. I mean, going back, I mean, certainly before Katrina, probably even 50 or 100 years ago. And it keeps, the corruption is just mind-boggling. And what happened in Katrina is a lesson to anybody who lives there that it's not a safe place.
There are many places in this world, when you live in parts of the Netherlands or parts of Germany or parts of Sweden and Norway. You're living in a first world civilization. And now, when you live in many parts of America, you're not living in a first world civilization. And if you look at what's going on in San Francisco or parts of Chicago, you're living in a third world situation.
And I worry about my people in New Orleans. It's a fascinating city and culturally pretty cool, but
That's
risky.
terrible. New Orleans. My family has a long tradition for generations of loving and spending time in New Orleans, and it's just horrible to watch.
Yep. Okay, the
Okay.
next one. This is something we have covered before. Has to do with appeal. I was mortified to learn recently of a new food coding called EdAppeal, funded by the Gates Foundation. Apparently, Oprah Winfrey was involved. Can you speak to this so that people are aware of organic labeling is no longer genuine? This coding, which apparently APEEL, which is what we called it before, is the brand name. And that scientifically it's called EdAppeal, is disastrous and allowed on organic produce and requires no labeling. Now, what I read said that they didn't have to put a label on it. I only know what was in the previous article. This is another poisoning travesty just now getting started. You mentioned the longer expiration time on food products in money and markets, but it also has to do with the use of EdAppeal. And the whole purpose of EdAppeal is to prolong the shelf life of foods. It's like putting a plastic wrap on it, except I guess you're something that has a skin you can take the skin off of, I guess. But it contains heavy metals, solvent, and fungicide. Only 68% is grape seed extract. It's dangerous. The FDA passed this with only 10 mice or six or something like that being safety tested in Europe. If you know anything about this, please make it public. No one I know is aware of it, but it was recently revealed on Highwire. And as I said, we also covered it in A Money in Markets. And at some point fairly soon, we're going to have a way to search for PDFs. And therefore, one might be able to go into a script from our previous Ask Catherines and find things like this. But yes, the information is out there. The person who sent it in the link before, there were some websites that went into great detail about it. I can confirm that it is something that the Gates Foundation was involved in, and that in and of itself tells me I want nothing to do with it.
So buying organic and storing organic certification, in my opinion, at this point is meaningless.
Find a farmer.
Yes, you need to know specifically, if possible, where your food is coming from, and to be able to ascertain the. So if you go to a place like Crossing Creek Farm or Joel Salatin's farm, they'll give you great chapter and verse on what they do and how they do it. You can make your own decisions, but I would beware any USDA standard. Now, we skipped a question 16. Let me jump back and say, mind control on men and boys through sports and porn. During a video conversation with a guest some months ago, Catherine mentioned that mind control is used on males through sports and pornography. Could she elaborate that on, give some sources? So there are two book reviews on the website I would encourage you to take a look at. One is Your Brain on Porn, Internet Pornography, and the Emerging Science of Addiction. And the other is The Porn Factor by Diane Roblin Lee. And you can read those, both of those reviews on Solari, and we'll have them in the show notes. I don't remember, we have a very good book in the Mind Control collection on use in gambling. And I probably suspect, because of the sort of cross ownership in those industries, that it's not unlike what is used in sports. But most of my knowledge from sports comes from anecdotal information from being an investment advisor for many, many years, and watching the sort of results and behavior patterns. And then the other is from people who work and operate on the covert side of the house, and what they say and tell me over many years. So I'm 100% convinced that this is true, but I don't remember offhand a book. There may be, if you go through the Mind collection, their Mind Control collection, there's some great books and with lots of information on all these kinds of dirty tricks. And it's astonishing, because if you look at how much entrainment I think is on the porn, and the fact that the last survey I saw, which is about 2 years ago, said that 98% of American men watch porn. So now that can include men that watch it every year. But when I try and warn men about this, they get all embarrassed and sort of whatever. And I keep telling them, look, I'm not telling you not to watch porn. I'm telling you, if you're going to do it, get a DVD. Don't watch it online, because I don't want you to lose your money or your mind. Anyway, it's kind of funny, because they all get all uncomfortable when I talk about it. But I just wish they'd watch it offline. Okay, next question is, let's see. Oh, a book for consideration that looks very interesting, Ordinary Soil. It's a novel set in Oklahoma, and it walks you through what happens when the soil deteriorates. This looks very interesting. Anyway, I really appreciate your posting that, because helping people understand these various aspects of the great poisoning is hard. And I think if you can put it in a good story, nonfiction story, it helps a lot. Okay, energy environment. Catherine, I noticed Larry had previously hosted Bryce Mitchell's post-fight press response regarding the war in Ukraine. This past Saturday, he was fighting Dan Eag, a Hawaiian fighter, I may have mispronounced that, and managed to get in during the post-fight interview in the ring that he believes the Lahaina fires were man-made. I thought it might be worth passing along. So thanks to you, we checked it, and Bryce Mitchell's going to be Hero of the Week next week on the Solari Report. That'll post, I think, sometime this weekend, or Monday. So Bryce Mitchell's gonna, and that what he did was so courageous. I mean, and he's a devout Christian. He's a real Christ warrior. It's unbelievable. So I've never met him. He's from Arkansas, so he's not that far away from me, but I just think he's terrific. Okay, nothing in Tech Corner, but I'm sure you'll have plenty by the end of the month, Carolyn.
Yes, we're getting a lot of feedback, a lot of questions and answers.
Right. And well, here's what's wonderful. If you look at our subscriber base, there is a fair amount of brilliant, very experienced people with lots of deep knowledge of tech. And we're going to assume that there's a whole bunch of you who know a whole lot more than we do. But what we would love to use Tech Corner is to get the best and the brightest among you to, just send in your information and we'll circulate it. And because we're going to have to figure all these things out ourselves. And we really, really appreciate you doing this, Carolyn, you and James. Okay, Bizarro World. New subscribers may not know that's our nickname for stories that are so bizarre, we'd rather isolate them in their own little,
Right.
their own little, I don't know. It's like what you put the bombs in when you when the
We don't
bomb
want to
squad ex
commit to anything that will make us, suspected of losing our minds if we
Well, it's not just that
treat
the
it in
stories
our.
are so toxic. You just want to
Right.
keep them away. You don't want them to mess up. I really believe if you look at the news, you can see the primary trends and what's really going on. And Bizarre World just makes everything so incoherent that you lose
Right.
sight of what's important. Hi, Catherine. This may be a question better suited for Dr. Frail at the next quarterly wrap up, as it came to me after finishing Microcosm and Medium. Do you think the AI portion of the surveillance and control apparatus is sophisticated enough to hypnotize someone with human input and run them like a handler for precision information gathering and manipulation of other target individuals? In other words, can it deputize and mobilize its own mind control assets and move them through the world towards other objects of interest, even complete strangers? My answer is yes, 100% happening now. Absolutely. And it was really interesting. I don't know if you remember this story or I might not have told you. I was going to one place that was going to be a private event, very private, no phones allowed in, etc. It's a wonderful event. And one of the people who was coming invited somebody who was not a subscriber and was not invited. They were told they couldn't come, but they showed up anyway, and they showed up with cameras and audio equipment. And I insisted on throwing them out. And finally, the host begged me to let them in. I said, put the cameras and phones in the car. I had another fight with a subscriber who used to, who claims to be a member of Russian intelligence, and he wanted to bring his phone. And I said, I told you, no phones. And he said, well, my babysitter needs to call me. And I said, so leave, and be in a place where your babysitter can call you. But there's a rule. What is it about? No, you don't understand. Get that phone out of here. And it's just unbelievable to see this. Anyway, so this person comes in who's literally been stalking me. He's been trying to get me to do interviews for months, and I won't. And anyway, the guy comes up to me and he starts to talk, and I say something that clearly was unexpected, and he just stops talking. And he stares, not looking quite at me, but looking towards me. And he just stops. And it as if, when the hourglass comes up on a computer and it just whirls around and you're waiting for the answer to come
Right.
through. He literally was frozen waiting for the answer to come through. And I realized I'm not talking to a person, I'm talking to an AI.
Wow.
It was, yeah, no, it was a wow moment. Because in every human being I meet, there is a light. There is a inner light. There is a even, even psychopaths can have that inner light. It's just a question. Spiritual warfare is about finding that light and bringing it out and, and getting it away from the spirit of evil. There was no light in this person. They had no aura. They just had, it was like dealing with an AI. It was one of the spookiest things that's ever happened to me.
Right.
Yeah, so can they do it? I believe absolutely, and I think they've had that technology for quite a while. Okay, so the next is we love this category, other. I'm not sure if I have it under the right heading, but recently an email from Live Free Cat Academy mentioned a book by Catherine Austin Fitz called Forging Financial Freedom in a Non-Free World. I need to be careful with how I spend my money. Let me make this really simple. Do not touch it with a 10-foot pole. All those questions and answers you can find on Solari and much higher quality. So this guy asked me to do an interview with his group. I did it, and he's now packaged it into this. And unfortunately, he's representing, I said things I never said. And his marketing is unbelievably aggressive. So no, listen to the Building Wealth curriculum or the parts that interest you. Please don't spend a dime for this. And
It's
if
not
you,
anything new that you don't get on the Solari report
right,
from Catherine.
exactly. No, there's much better material on the Solari report. And it's, I don't know, it's like 2 years old. Hi, Catherine. I'm contemplating a work transfer to Philadelphia in the near future. Are you aware of any good churches there that offer the kind of Bible and spiritual warfare instruction that you got in Washington, D.C. back in the late 90s? I don't, but since I'm in the Pennsylvania area regularly, I will ask around. And Junius Ricardo Stanton is there, so I'm gonna send this to him right now and see what he says. There's certainly been a lot of deterioration in the churches for all the reasons we know, but let me see what I can find. So Junius is also from Philadelphia. So we had Ricardo and I, the last time I was in Pennsylvania, had dinner. Junius came out and we had dinner out in Westchester, and God, did we have a great time. Okay, so hi, Catherine. Thank you for all that you and the Solari contributors do. Just a reminder that we are still praying every Monday morning for 1 minute at 11 Eastern. So this is a wonderful subscriber, and I know this is a wonderful group. The prayers for those who do not see to see, and for those who do see to see more. Anyway, just prayers whenever they are at the moment. Also, everybody prays where you are, so you don't have to call in or dial anything. It's just 11 o'clock Eastern, a 1 minute prayer. Also, please don't hesitate to increase our people by texting friends outside of Solari. I have several people who I've done that with. The more, the better. I have a recurring alarm set on my phone, so I never forget. It's a wonderful subscriber. I recommend her efforts to you very, very strongly. Hi, Catherine and team. Greetings from southeastern Michigan. I must say I'm new to the study of spiritual science, and many thanks for pulling everything together in Spiritual Science Academy section of the site. So we've just completed the whole curriculum. We have to make a big announcement and splash about it, but it's all there in Spiritual Science Academy. So it turns out they're asking, Mr. Meyer said in his video, Spiritual Knowledge, what is it? That in reading biographies without the understanding of reincarnation, karma is merely scratching the surface and insufficient. So your question is, would I record Thomas talking about reincarnation and karma? And I will put that in the parking lot. So now that we've finished this big push, and I just recorded another one with Thomas that we will put up shortly. We've just published a lot with Thomas recently, so I don't expect to do this anytime soon, but I will definitely put it in there. Then somebody had posted a graphic, how to spot a false flag, and what they're describing is how to spot it after it happens. I would say we also need a graphic on how to spot it before it happens, so you don't walk into the middle of
Right.
one. It's really funny because I'm constantly find myself in these situations where I immediately say, no, we need to stop, we need to leave, we need to go back. And someone will say, well, how do you know? And then I have to come to, I have to figure out, okay, what are all the different signals that says something covert going down, get out. And anyway, maybe we'll have to make one. Okay, let's see. Three of the controlled opposition were once in the same room. Do viruses exist? Dr. Robert Malone, Peter McCullough, and Ryan Cole answer your question. So we didn't watch the video. So I'm always looking for great information. I will say this. My impression of Ryan Cole is, he was just a really good, straight up guy. And he he tried, you know, he did the right thing at great expense and cost to himself. And then I think an effort was made to sort of channel him in away from a lot of people who, if he'd linked up with, he would have gotten a lot more done. But, you know, I think he's pretty sincere. McCullough, I don't know very well. He and I had a bad run-in at the beginning of Doctors for COVID Ethics because he was saying on TV that, you know, people under 35 shouldn't get the vax. And I said, so what, we should kill people over 35, Peter? Really? How is that science? Anyway, so I got wrong side of Peter because I was pretty offended by thinking it was okay to just genocide people over 35. You know, you take a guy like Peter McCullough, and he's so high up and so used to status and prestige, it's hard to not to want to work with the establishment and get along with the establishment. You know, it takes many, many years in the wilderness to realize you ought to just fully embrace the wilderness and go from there. We're just going to have to build big, you know, new institutions, and you can't worry about institutions that don't have integrity. So anyway, I did just send into the Solari for News, Trends, and Stories a new Substack on Dr. Robert Malone and his lawsuits against the Washington Post and Breggins and
Jane Ruby.
It's the Breggins and Jane Ruby, and all I can say is it just reminds me, God does not bless a mess. We commented on it. There's a comment that we excerpted from Ask Catherine called "The Refiner's Fire." The court kind of says everything I have to say about that situation. Anyway, but I think
Catherine,
in
we're in recommended links now.
oh, I'm sorry, Carolyn.
Well, that's all right. That
Did I skip
was a
any
good
recommended
thing.
links?
People want to know what you think about those guys, I
I went
guess.
right past, you know, the black on the false flags. I went right by it. Okay, so here we are. We're in recommended links, and I'm turning it over to you, Carolyn.
Okay, the first one, I confess that I just got back from 5 plane flights in 1 week and trying to catch up with everything, and I haven't spent as much time on the recommended links as I usually do. So
So,
this
are
one
you
was
telling us that you're a jet setter?
oh, is that amusing? I'm a jet setter. But the first one was long, and I did listen to parts of it, but the guy has an accent and at the top speed with an accent from Australia or somewhere. It was sort of hard to pick up. So I only picked up part of it, but I really like Rune Soup. Gordon, don't remember his last name, but
Brown. I love Gordon Brown. I
he's
just love
really
Gordon.
great.
He's so
And
great.
right. And this one is called Russell Brand versus the Establishment. And he says, today's episode is a bit of read along, talking you through some of the coverage of our looming techno dystopia, finishing off with what we can do about it. And it's called his, it's a solo cast called World Without Sin on censorship laws rolling out around the world and their implications. And I fully intend to listen to it. And I think that you will enjoy it. So I recommend it, even though I can only say I did see little bits of it, but I can't
You know, I don't know if
comment
you know this.
today.
I love Gordon Brown, and one of his there was one book he had that I loved and I would always quote, but I never reviewed it and got him on the Solari Report at the time because in the middle of the book, he tells you to go into the middle of the road and invite the devil to come meet you. And I kept saying, Gordon, you know, you can't do this. This, you know, you could get something real and you could get killed. Don't do things like that. Anyway, but I think he's terrific.
Yeah, have you ever seen The Exorcist? Yeah.
Right.
Okay, the next one has to do with Christine Amber Anderson, and I love almost everything that she does. She's a member of parliament on the rebellious side, who's standing up for rights of individuals in the European Union. And this is a particularly good interview with Del Bigtree. And she just catches you up with the awful things. I mean, she's the one who really demonstrated to me how much the European Union members in Europe, the countries in Europe, are like states and similar to states in the United States in that they are ruled by a, in some respects, by a federal, a higher authority, an umbrella authority, and in this case, it's the EU, and that they have very little national sovereignty. And there are a few things that they can vote on, but for the most part, it's the European Commission that makes all of the decisions on behalf of these supposedly sovereign countries. So anyway, I thought it was a very good interview. This one I'm only including in order to show you that fear porn, you know, we don't usually say, okay, here's fear porn. This is Jim Willie predicts a dollar supernova before it disappears. And he joins Patrick at Patriot Underground to discuss the latest financial developments and to analyze the final stages of war. You know, he says, we're entering the accelerating final phase, quickening toward the U.S. government debt default. As countries begin dumping their treasury bonds en masse, and, you know, consider this thought, he says, none of the currencies have a legitimate basis. They're all from the Rothschild model of debt foundation. And what is the global currency reserve for a debt foundation but the US Treasury bond? So the yen has a treasury bond as its foundation. Country after country is going to dump treasury bonds as a result. You know, it goes on and on, but I thought I would ask Catherine just to address. I mean, it seems to me we are in a relatively dire situation. A lot of things are going to happen, possibly in the next 6 months or even shorter.
So
But
can I just say
yes.
something?
Yes.
We've been in a dire situation since 1998.
Right.
Okay. If you look at all the people who've been poisoned and killed, you know, we're in a genocide. So
The obvious parts of it are more obvious and reported on in shorter increments of time than was the case before, but I
right,
agree with
but the idea that there's this big scary thing
you.
that's going to happen in the future is a distraction of the fact, you know, in 1995, November, the US government authorized predatory lending and OxyContin pill mills to target neighborhoods, you know, in what is a genocide program. It's a slow kill. It's a poisoning. You know, and
Right.
that's been going on all along. There are millions of people who are dead, who suffered, gone bankrupt, you know, become poor. You know, this is going on and been going on for years. And the idea that, you know, we need to be afraid of the big, you know, event in the future. No, we need to be focused on the here and now and protecting ourselves and dealing with the reality that's in our face, because it's not going to go away until we turn it around.
Right.
So I am, you know, Jim Willie and I used to have huge fights about this because he was saying the dollar is going to collapse. I said, no, it's not, James. Jim, this is all a bunch of hooey. You know, it's very entertaining, but that's all it is. It's just entertainment. Anyway,
Right.
so it's not coming. It's here now. It's been going on for decades. And it's far worse than just, you know, if the worst thing that happened was the dollar collapse, that we would be lucky. That would be a good scenario. I mean, no, we're talking about full-on slavery. We're talking
Right,
about
and mass
people,
genocide. I mean,
right. So, you know, don't the, what's here now is much worse than what Jim is entertaining you with. So,
right.
you know, and I like Jim personally. You know, I find him a charming guy, but he's, you know, it's like if you've ever heard Bill Cosby's routine, the chicken heart that ate up New York City.
Yes.
This is, you know, and I've put that up several times and I love it. I love it. But this is the, you know, adult fairy tale version of the chicken heart that ate up New York City. That's it.
Right.
Anyway, okay.
The next one is really belongs in Bizarro World. I included it just because it's bizarre. Zelensky asks Marina Abramovic to be ambassador for the Ukraine. It's out of Press for Truth on BitChute. And this woman, I mean, it starts out pointing out that Justin Trudeau was a drama teacher. Zelensky was an actor and comedian, and this woman is some kind of performance artist. It's
Right,
very
she does
difficult.
the, they do the spirit cooking where they have dinners of food organized to look like cadavers of humans.
Yeah, I mean, it's really ghoulish performance art. And he asks her to be the ambassador for the Ukraine. So you're looking at this and you're thinking, can it get any more bizarre than this? This is someone who's going to be an ambassador? Really? So I just thought it was so bizarre I had to mention it. The next one is an Ilana Freeland on the Deep State Black Hats. And Ilana Freeland is a good source, and it goes into weather manipulation and directed energy weapons. And the final part that the subscriber quoted from, which I think is interesting, is when you feel sick, you are being fed frequencies which your body recognizes as being sick. You have been broadcast to with a set of systems. Do not go to the hospital because you are walking into 5G and 6G lands so that they are not safe places at all. And you have basically agreed that they can do whatever they want with you. You have submitted. Western medicine is a weapon in the sense that it is a delivery system. And Catherine and I were involved in some discussions today about how hospitals are not safe places, particularly for people who have not been jabbed. And that, the hospital protocols are dangerous, and that having directed advanced directives in writing to a hospital doesn't necessarily mean they're going to follow them. So this is another way, another reason that hospitals are not safe places. And
Yeah,
there's a
so we were on
food.
Financial Rebellion with Polly Tommy, and as she's driven the bus across the country, she's discovered what Sasha Ladipova did an interview about and told us out in the Swedish conference. She was trying to protect her mother-in-law, who a relative who was in the hospital and basically got moved under our guard to what is now under military law spaces in the hospital, where if you're not vaccinated, they put you on remdesivir and you die. And it's pretty. And but Paul, what Polly had said, and the reason she wanted to run the clip was they had run into this story again and again and again on the bus of this happening. It's very frightening.
The next one is called Pigskins and Circuses, and it's from the American Conservative. And it is the writer, said Nicholas Bartolovic, talks about how he was very interested in sports and got involved. He's from Cleveland and liked what's his name, the basketball player from Cleveland. And he says a saving grace was that I didn't really have the means or inclination to combine sports with alcohol and gambling. Now, with the rise of sports books and online gambling that turn your smartphone into a glorified slot machine, I see a bleak future of countless young men mired in debt, trying to get a fix, drunkenly watching their favorite team lose, all while commercials and in-game advertisements condemning white supremacy and celebrating trans athletes are interspersed between drives. So I have some serious concern about addiction to a number of electronic related things,
Right.
but the sports establishment, and Catherine has on more than one occasion noted that sports broadcasts are perhaps among the most likely
Right.
to be involve mind control.
Right. I believe there's a great deal of mind control that could deliver to sports. Now, the best thing in the world for your kids is to get them out playing sports in the real
Yes.
world. Right.
Yes. Nothing wrong with sports
Yeah, sports.
per
No, I
se.
love sports. Sports are great. Get your kids outside playing sports. Get them much more excited about playing sports than watching sports.
Right.
Right.
The next one is fascinating. Wim Hof was the person of the year a couple of years ago, and we've offered to provide free copies of his book to anybody who was vaccine injured. And I don't know how many we gave away, but
200.
wow. And he
Yeah.
was a guest on the Solari Report, and he's just a fascinating, wonderful man. And he has a Wim Hof method involving, for those who are new subscribers and haven't read this, it involves breathing techniques, exposure to incredibly cold water or, ice baths and that sort of thing, and meditation. And as I understand it, that there are many benefits, but part of it has to do with overcoming the autonomic system, negative things in your autonomic system. And his methods have been studied and approved by doctors who have perhaps a more medical explanation for why these things work. But apparently there is a new documentary put out by the or produced by the Mulligan brothers, and it's Big Pharma versus Wim Hof. And the subscriber says, "I would like to be a fly on the wall when little structured energetic powerhouse meets up off camera with little enfant terrible, which Wim Hof seems to be. Service to others makes powerful bonds." I looked at some parts of this. It's a long link. I think this is the link is actually to the documentary. And I'll be interested to look at it in more detail, but it actually has interviews with Wim Hof, and it
So
is.
I didn't know this had come out. I've watched one long video about Wim Hof, but I think this must be new. I've never seen this
Yeah.
before. It
Yeah.
was posted 12 days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks
Looks like it's going to
wonderful.
be a great thing to watch.
I love Wim Hof. Well, I just sent it to Ulrich, who writes our Let's Go to the Movies, and said movie of the week question mark. So Uli will love to take a look at this, but I will look at it too. It looks great.
Okay, great. Now the next one is, I usually tell people what my favorite link is, and this is my favorite link this week. It's from Active Post by Aaron and Melissa Dykes. It's how to read the UN's new Sustainable Development Goals, Agenda 2030 Translator.
I have to say, this is funny as all get out.
This
This is
is
the best link.
hilarious.
They are so funny. Melissa and Aaron are hysterical. They are so talented
Right.
and so funny.
Okay, so goal one is end poverty in all its forms everywhere. Translation: centralized banks, IMF, World Bank, Fed to control all finances. Goal two, end hunger, achieve food security, and improve nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. I mean, what pretzel talk? Translation: GMO. Goal three. Ensure healthy lives and promote well-being for all ages. Translation. Oh, jeez. Mass vaccination, Codex Alimentarius. Goal four, ensure inclusive and equitable quality education and promote lifelong learning opportunities for all. Translation. UN propaganda, brainwashing through compulsory education from cradle to grave. Goal five, achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Translation, population control through forced, quote unquote, family planning. Six, ensure availability and sustainable management of water and sanitation for all. Translation, Privatize all water sources. Don't forget to add fluoride. Goal 7, ensure access to affordable, reliable, sustainable, and modern energy for all. Translation, smart grid with smart meters on everything, peak pricing. Goal 8, promote sustained, inclusive, and sustainable economic growth, fulfill and productive employment, and decent work for all. Translation, Trans-Pacific, TPP, free trade zones that favor mega corporate interests. Goal 9, build resilient infrastructure, promote inclusive and sustainable industrialization, and foster innovation. Translation, toll roads, push public transit, remove free travel, environmental restrictions. Goal 10, reduce inequality within and among countries. Translation, even more regional government bureaucracy. Goal 11, make cities and human settlements inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable. Translation, big brother, big data, surveillance state. Goal 12, ensure sustainable consumption and production, productive patterns. Translation, forced austerity. Goal 13, take urgent action to combat climate change and its impacts. Translation, cap and trade, carbon taxes and credits, footprint taxes, aka Al Gore's wet dream. Goal 14, conserve and sustainably use the oceans, seas, and marine resources for sustainable development. Translation, environmental restrictions, control all oceans, including mineral rights from ocean floors. Goal 15, protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Translation, more environmental restrictions, more controlling resources, and mineral rights. Goal 16, promote peaceful and inclusive societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and inclusive institutions at all levels. Translation, more UN peacekeeping, quote unquote, missions, remove Second Amendment in USA. And the final one, goal 17, strengthen the means of implementation and revitalize the global partnership for sustainable development. Translation, remove national sovereignty worldwide. Now that took a little bit of time, but I really think everybody should look at that again, because there's a way that things get through to us through comedy that are sort of too painful to really become acceptable by just stating what the problem is.
Right. That's why you have to keep your state of amusement.
And I mean, this is so true.
Right.
The next one is from Dr. Vandam Shiva. It's an interview about her new book, Oneness Versus the 1%, Shattering Illusions, Seeding Freedom.
Actually, that's not new, because several years ago, I had a really hard time getting it, and I finally found it in PDF form in Australia, but it's a couple years old at least.
Well, apparently Dr. Mercola, I didn't notice it because I am subscribed to him, but apparently he had a video with her, an interview with her, and there are some good quotes from the interview, and she's really a treasure. And she says, we are at whether there will be extinction or not. So we've decided we will push the majority extension we don't get, and we will create dismantling of systems so the governments cannot care. We will make it impossible for governments to respond with okay, so that the governments take the tax money they collect and give it to us. That's why we need a democratic debate on taxation, because we are being taxed to create our own slavery. The next one, the depopulation via medicine in parenthesis formula. It's from Lou Rockwell. And it talks about this hospital system covering up injuries and deaths. And I would note that this has been going on for a long time, and this is about that. But what's happening with COVID is just a continuation of, you know, it didn't come from nowhere. It's been going on, and this is it. So,
you know, I just have to point out that Rappaport has been writing about this for years.
Yeah.
And he really deserves, you know, he has tried to really focus on us on this dangers and how the infrastructure to do this has been growing. So I just have to give a shout out to him.
Yeah. The next one is from Dr. Trozzi's website, and which is drtrozzi.org. And it's a three-part series on vax detox. He is a Canadian doctor. I watched some of the trial before the board, university, I think it's a university board's certified doctors, licensed doctors in Canada. And I never found out what ultimately happened. I assume that he probably was delicensed, but I was just interested in seeing whether it was similar to what happened to Merrill Nass. And it absolutely was, if anything, worse in terms of the testimony by the so-called experts. They had an expert from the WHO who had experience working with the WHO. And, you know, the lies were just awful. And he has been an activist from the beginning of COVID. And, you know, from what I can tell, he's a great guy. So I looked a bit at and confirmed there are three parts. And he talks about the wellness companies, Natokinase, I think it's called. And he talks about fasting, among other things. But this should be interested. We've had several people write in and say, what can be done to get to detox from the spike protein? So that's another thing to look at and consider for yourself. The next one is 30 depopulation quotes that the elite believe shows they hate humanity. And these are actual citations to what some of, I guess you could call it the elite, Mr. Global members, you know, what some of the psychopaths that are somehow pulling the strings have at least said through well-known people, leaders who Catherine has referred to as middle management, but we know them as world leaders and or experts to world leaders or government officials. And it just shows you that they've been telling us for a long time, sometimes the truth. You know, we can say they lie all the time, but sometimes they actually tell the truth. And what they have said was so unbelievable at the time that we thought they were lying because it was a horrible thing. Things like depopulation, talking about, what did they call them? Panels of people, death panels that they talked about in connection with Obamacare. And so, you know, just in case you're interested in looking at some history in a new light or with a different understanding, I commend that to your consideration. And the last one is WEF pushes criminalizing court in climate inaction. I was interested. I'm an attorney, and apparently the World Economic Forum has suggested that there could be cases involving criminalization of failure to implement the climate benefit agenda, and calling climate inaction a crime. And there is some indication that the international courts might get involved with that, you know, in calling it crimes against humanity or something like that. And I think it's a real threat, given what I've seen.
Yeah.
Lately,
absolutely,
this is not outside the realm of possibility. So
now, this is building the slavery box.
Yeah,
We're talking about converting people to slavery.
Yeah.
Okay, so take action. We had one from last week that I'm going to roll over to next week. I apologize, Carolyn and I were in many planes and many places, giving many presentations and interviews, and we just didn't have the time to focus, especially on something important and complex. So this is what you sent in is important, complex, and we really appreciate it. And it goes right to the heart of some of the really important legal things we can do. So I want to read that, particularly before I'm back in Tennessee. Then the last section is local gatherings, and we still have space in our Minneapolis area meetups. A wonderful group of Salary Report subscribers. I know some of them personally are going to be there. Some great people. We're expecting a diverse 24 subscribers, farmers, artists, tech professionals, financial professionals, and more. We look forward to hearing, to learning about it Sunday, October 8th, 5 to 7 p.m. So it's coming up this Sunday. You can RSVP to Susan Luchas at gmail.com. And her cell number is 650-823-6405. And it's spelled SusanLuchas at gmail.com. And you can find both that number and email address in the notes. So Minneapolis area meetup, that one is going to be good. It's a great group of people. Okay, well, Carolyn, that's it for this week. We'll talk to you. We'll be back with all of you next week and Ask Catherine. You have a wonderful week. And again, we thank you for the questions. The Soleri team, we've gotten to the point where now we're sending all these around and inviting participation from other members of the Soleri team. And we reserve the right to occasionally bring them in, some of the other hosts for helping with the questions. So we really appreciate it. Have a wonderful week. Anything else, Carolyn?
Nope, I am. We'll do our best to get this out tomorrow, which is
Yeah,
a
well,
very tight,
I would
tight
point out
deadline.
at Monday you're taking another transatlantic plane flight, so
Yes.
this jet setter thing is not over yet.
But I'm going home the next flight.
Well, jet setters have residences. Jet setters
Yes.
have residences.
Yes.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.